I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios a band from upstate New York. They are called The Sea, The Sea. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
So they are Mira Costa, Chuck Costa, Kara, I can't read without my glasses. Kara, what's your last name?
Gorman.
Gorman, and Stephen
Struess.
Struess. All right, I was going to say that wrong, so I'm glad I had you say it. And they did a fantastic show last night at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. And they are going to be heading up the shore after this session and playing at Papa Charlie's in Lutzen tonight. So looking forward to that for people that are up the shore. You might want to check that out tonight. Well, thanks for coming in. Glad you were able to do it. And you have a new album out. Really excited about that. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. But what do you want to start with here? Let's start with a song.
We're going to start with one of the songs from the new record. This is called Bang, Bang, Bang.
The Sea live from Studio A, and that is one featured on their new album, From the Light. And last time you were here about a year ago, you were talking about that album. And Mira and Chuck, are you still the main songwriters of this group?
Yeah, so the group started out as a duo, and then actually when we were here last time, that was our first tour as a four-piece. And so, yeah, Chuck and I write the songs, and then we bring them to the group for arrangements.
So tell me about that one. How did that one come about?
That it's interesting. That one was sort of one that we started almost around the time of our first album, and it got sort of like shelved because it had like different lyrics, and we just
it
sort
was
of
actually called beat beat. Yeah, beat, as opposed to bang, bang, bang.
And again, it was, and then we were sort of, you know, going through the archives that we had, and there was something in that one that we wanted to explore more, and so we completely rewrote it. But there's sort of like a seed of the idea.
Well, yeah. it was this the whole song was sort of a metaphor for like the personification of truth. It was like the she was like that was we had
that was
this whole
be
like
truth and
yeah this whole idea. And then when we started tweaking the lyrics and sort of when the song started making sense to us, it, at the end we realized we had sort of written a murder ballad. Like, okay, we'll take it.
So either personification of the truth or murder ballad. You get to choose
or
your
both.
Adventure.
It can be both somehow. I'm not sure. Well, that's fun. It's fun to hear how songs evolve like that because, you know, I'm not a songwriter, so the process is very mysterious to me. So
it is to us all.
And it's also interesting that there must have been something about it that made you keep going, oh, let's keep working
yeah,
on that
yeah,
one.
Totally.
Sometimes songs just like feel good in your body and in your bones, and you just keep revisiting them and sort of waiting until they sort of click and make
yeah,
sense.
You can recognize the more you write, sort of the more, you know, we've experienced that process. You can, you know, look at songs like that when they're not ready as like a fruit that hasn't ripened yet. And mm-hmm. you're like, I know it's going to be perfect at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to throw it away because it doesn't taste good now. Mm-hmm. And then just like at some point, it'll just...
That's a good metaphor, Chuck.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Song about it.
It's just like being able to trust those instincts and know which one. So, yeah. Once you went from beat to bang, did that kind of make things fall into place
it
with
did.
That song?
Yeah.
Like,
that
wait, we just
moment.
Needed that one word.
Yeah, and that was actually something we were talking with our producer who produced this album, Troy Pohl. We were sort of running, workshopping that song a little bit, and that was we were looking for another word, and I think he might have even
yeah.
been he was the one who
it
sort of
came, it just like popped out, I think, yeah. of a conversation. He was like, maybe bang would be better, and then
yeah.
let's try that. And then the yeah. whole song started to make sense
yeah.
after that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice when that comes together. So the core of the group, you've been around since 2011, is that right?
Yeah.
Sort of.
As the Sea
I,
the Sea?
Yeah. Well, as the Sea the Sea is more like 2013. We,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Mira and I, we
were
of,
out there before then.
Yeah, like we got together in 2011, sort of. I played solo just under my name for mm-hmm. a while before we were together. And so I sort of had a circuit that I was sort of playing just kind of folk, you know, singer-songwriter gigs. And so Mira, like, had
I was
a job.
Harmonies.
She had a job that she was doing before that. And I was ready to sort of throw in the towel because I had been doing it for a while and I just was not... just didn't feel like it was working. It was kind of beating me down and I wasn't really enjoying it. And I knew like something is wrong if I'm playing music and not having fun. Like what am I doing here? And when Mira and I sort of connected, she was like, I want to get out and just play as much music as I can. And then playing with her reinvigorated me. And so we sort of hit the ground running. Like right when we got together, we just got into a car and just like, kind of spent like all of our time on the road playing and
lived
being out
of
in the
car.
World and
nice.
And that was in 2011 but mm-hmm. it wasn't until about 2013 that we sort of formalized it a bit
mm-hmm.
and started recording in 2013
yeah.
so.
Well and now you've had these two along for a little while and they've wonderful I was at the show last night and they had you know a lot to the show and they were here last year too so is it feeling more like it's you know, this is what it's going to be, or do you still do duo stuff a lot? Or
we do some,
we don't very much, but
yeah.
we do a little bit. But this is feeling like what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we met Kara when we were singing backup vocals for an artist named Sean Rao, and we just like really connected and through singing and wanted to continue doing something together, and then we met Steve not too long after that, and I don't know. I think, you know, it feels, it's just, it's always, there's been like a chemistry and an alchemy here, and I guess we'll just keep doing it.
Well, and the harmonies that you two had were already nice, but then adding in, Kara, your harmonies as well is just magical. It's all beautiful. Well, let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the album. What do you want to play next?
This one's called, this is the closing track from the album. It's called Take That.
you could believe me, but anyway, we're all just running around trying to save us from ourselves. All that much to do with violence in the silence, something else. Take that, it can't be done. Lost cause, going gone. Give me a hammer, a chisel and some time. Will to crack it open, one more broken paradigm. Snap the hinges, get through the door. To get through the war, jump the hedges. What is more, over the edge is what you're looking for. Snap the hinges, get through the door. Can't be done. Lost cause, going gone. Give me a hammer, a chisel, and some time. The will to crack it open, the will to crack it open, the will to crack it open. One more broken pair.
That's the sea live from Studio A, and another one from their album From the Light, their latest release. Tell me about that one. What inspired that one?
So that one actually came from Chuck and I were coming back from a tour, and it was the winter time, and we were living. It was before we moved. Now we live in Troy, New York, and we were living out in the country, and we had a very steep driveway, and it was. Completely covered in ice when we came back, and we had this hilarious our neighbors told us that it was a lost cause, and we went into the garage and we got a literal hammer and a chisel or a crowbar and went to town on the driveway and broke the ice apart. And as with many things, there it was a metaphor in there, and Chuck and I think were like simultaneously writing that song in our minds, and went back into the house, and we both looked at each other and were like, I think I gotta go write something. And so that song is actually the part of the song that I wrote and then the part of the song that Chuck wrote, and they sort of magically fit together. And it started with that as inspiration, but it turned into a song about hoping for a better world.
love that. You know, sometimes people say, you know, you shouldn't ask what songs are about, or artists don't want to say it because everybody's supposed to interpret themselves. I love hearing stories like that where I would never have guessed that from hearing the song. And it doesn't take anything away from what the song means to me when I hear that. I'm just like, that's pretty cool that something could start
when
like that.
When we were chipping through that ice, the metaphors were just flying through my brain. I was just like, man, this is just, like, they were just too obvious. Like,
Well, and I love that just something ordinary can inspire songwriting. And is it harder when you actually then do this for a living? I am assuming that. Is this pretty much what you do for a living now? And then bands always come across that thing where their whole life is traveling and making music, and so those are their experiences. So is it harder to come up with other, you know what I mean? Like, does that change your situation?
It's hard not to have the road be a metaphor for everything.
Right. Yeah.
I find that the writing that we do now usually happens, or the inspirations happen moments that we're not on the road. It's like, I mean, that's starting to change, but you're so 24/7 busy when you're on the road. You're always like kind of going from A to B. And I find that, yeah, for us, it's like the moments that it could happen literally the day after we get home from a tour and we're doing something mundane where we're just, our brains are in kind of a different place. That's where I find like the writing still happens. It's sort of moments that are not musically, you know, not related to music, which doesn't happen to us all the time because we're doing it all the time. But it's usually when we're home.
And I feel like, you know, we're driving a lot out on the road, but we're in so many new places. We're like meeting so many amazing people. We're seeing so many things. And it's almost like that's like a collection phase of just experiencing the world. And then you sort of come back from that and you process that. And I think the way we process is through music. And so, yeah, just trying to think the things that stick with you then become sort of the songs.
And I don't think we talked about your musical backgrounds last time you were here, and I'm always curious about that. So, Chuck, how long have you been making music? And
I don't have any formal training at all. I just I went to school for philosophy, and I started,
which is good for songwriting.
Helps with the songwriting.
Those metaphors just fly.
Yeah, I sort of learned guitar in high school on my own, and I started writing in high school. I was drawn to more to the writing than to, like, you know, becoming a guitarist. I just sort of played guitar to supplement, like, to back up, accompany myself. And then in college, started doing open mics and, like, a lot of open miking just for fun. But even though I was studying something else, I was always sort of afraid to go to music school because I thought it would change music for me. And I, you know, now have mixed feelings about that. There are things I'm thankful for because I do see that music school can shape your musical, you know, approach in ways that can not help, but there are a lot of things that do help with the, you know, a lot of the theory and all that you learn. I feel I had to sort of catch up a lot. But anyway, after college, I just decided I'm going to do music, try to make a living, see how long it lasts. And now it's carried me since then. So I haven't had to, the joke in my family is I have my philosophy degree to fall back on if the music doesn't work out. But anyway, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm. I went to school for musical theater and dance, and ended up spending a lot more time in the practice rooms writing songs on the piano. And then that's just became sort of what resonated with me the most. Steve went to school for, at St. Rose,
Where St. Rose?
In Albany. And then Kara went to school for visual arts.
Yeah, I went to art school, fine arts.
Well, and you're a jewelry maker as well. There was some jewelry.
Paper, jewelry.
Oh, and paper, yes.
I mean, I like to make pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. But
now she's crocheting bags so she can make everything.
Nice.
We did this really for, we took all of our old set lists from the last like year and a half, and we blended them up in a blender, and Kara helped us, like, we all turned them into paper, and then we have a thing where we write lyrics from the songs on that paper that's made from old set lists.
Wow,
so,
I love that.
And and Steve designed our album cover. It's and so we've got lots of artists, visual artists in here.
Nice.
Too.
I also play guitar and write my own songs as well, and I've, you know, been playing music since college for sure. Well, high school for sure. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that in upstate New York that you do that, or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the road right now, obviously, and not really kind of.
Right.
But I love singing harmonies. It's like one of my favorite things. So.
Yeah, she's a beautiful writer.
Nice. Mira, I think we learned last time you were here that you're originally from West Virginia.
Yes.
So was there music there? I don't know how to describe it. Like, is there a musical culture there that might be different than where you are now?
Also, West Virginia, Charleston is an incredible like arts center, and a lot of people there who sort of were in the back to the land sort of movement, and that's when my dad moved there. He is a musician, so I grew up all around musicians. My mom is a visual artist, and my dad became part of a radio show called Mountain Stage.
Oh, I didn't know he was part of that. Wonderful.
And he's been there since it first started, and he's the band leader there now. So I grew up like going to Mountain Stage, packing up my dolls, and it, when it used to broadcast completely live, we'd go there early in the morning for rehearsals and
she'd hang out in the green room with like Katie Lang and Aaron Neville. And
wow!
And I'd dance in the back of the theater and like play with my dolls on the side during a sound check.
What a wonderful! And you have been on the Mountain Stage a few times.
Yeah.
And they used to broadcast up in Grand Marais. I'm pointing with my hand here, that not that anybody on the radio can see that. Up in Grand Marais, and I went to those several years, and it was so wonderful. And you know, you had mentioned last time what a family atmosphere it is, and really that crew is just so nice and so wonderful. And the show is, you know, they always brought in really great people, as well as welcoming some local and regional artists on there, and it just was so much fun.
Yeah, they're a big part of, Bob Monahan from Red Herring sort of brought us to Duluth. And then when we got up this far, we were like, well, all we've heard from the Mountain Stage community is how incredible Grand Marais and the Lutzen area are. And so we decided to go up that way last time. And now I think we will make it an annual pilgrimage because it's pretty magic.
We love having you. We love having you. I hope this is part of the pilgrimage every year, too, because we love having you. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the album. So did it take you very long? You were working on it last year. I don't know if you had started recording yet or if you just had been working up some of the songs.
We really approached this album a little bit differently than we had approached the others, partially because we could. We took a lot of time with this one. We started, it was about a year-long process. We started writing all of the songs, most of them, in the fall of 2016. And then we wanted to evolve our sound, but in a very organic way. And once we had started playing with Karen and Steve, we just wanted to sort of grow the songs, like not in a way where we were cut and pasting like a band onto the songs themselves, but sort of letting the arrangements be part of the writing. And so we started recording around January of last year, and we'd go into the studio and we'd record like one or two songs at a time, and just sort of let them breathe and evolve, and then find sort of the spaces that we wanted to keep creating to sort of create a nice arc in the album.
Our past recording experiences would be more like we'd have all the songs ready and kind of block off a week or two in a studio and just bang it out, you know, and then maybe do some overdubs after that block of time. But we would do like, you know, the full album in just a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, this approach with doing just having one or two songs that we were going to focus on for a few days in the studio, it really did open up. Just like opened our, it gave us like you said, breathing room to try to listen to what the song was trying to communicate,
and it let us take some of the songs out on the road and then like bring things back into the studio that we wanted to add that we had sort of like added through like live performance and just you discover so many things in the studio and then also when you're playing things live, and we wanted that there to be sort of like a creative conversation.
And there were moments where when we had maybe like two-thirds or half of the record kind of coming along, and we're like, it'd be cool to have a song that felt this way, you know. And so we would write that, we wrote, you know, a couple of songs we kind of wrote with that in mind, and they were
use a feeling
shaped
as a writing prompt.
whether it was a sonic idea, you know, or it was mostly that. And so we would like, there were a couple songs where we just brought them really raw, you know, to with Steve and Kara, which we don't always do because, you know, when we'd first written most of these songs, we weren't all playing together. And that was a fun, that's been a fun evolution of our process, is like, which we haven't done enough of. I'm excited to do more of that. We've been so focused on
Well, I suppose, like, you two, I'm assuming, are married, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you are together regularly and so can work things out regularly. Yeah. So you probably don't have quite as much time with these two to... Yeah, and plus it's new having, you know, these new colors to add. Newish.
Well, it's not as much time, but one of the reasons that we've loved working with Kara and Steve so much is that we're all like magically in the same area, and everybody, you know, we all get together like a few times a week and just and have rehearsals and things. And I, you know, that just feels so necessary to our process, and it's just like an invaluable sort of thing to be, I don't know, just like growing things in that way and being able to play that much together.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so it really has switched things up having these two wonderful players with you, and you, and it's only been like a little over a year. You said you were just touring with them for the first time last year, right?
Yeah.
So it must be really fun to have that evolve and yeah. See how the sound changes and what new inspirations you get from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have a much bigger van now, so also
nice. Well, let's hear one more tune, and then we'll talk up again about the shows that your show that you're doing. What do you want to end up with here?
We're going to end with a song called Phototropic.
All signs point this way. Neon flickering, a crash into the ribcage, flash of reckoning. All signs point this way, as we'll adjust, sharpen into focus, something.
That is the Sea live from Studio A, and another one from their latest album, From the Light, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Really
Thanks
appreciate it.
Us.
And again, they are playing tonight at Papa Charlie's in Lutzen. That show starts at 8:30 p.m. Anyone else playing or just you?
It's just us, and we'll actually be at 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis, too, on Tuesday.
Nice.
With Maggie Kerner.
And you've got a lot of shows through August, it looks like, and into September.
Yes, doing a whole West Coast run, and we'll be back in September.
Well, you picked the right time of year to come to Duluth, for sure.
Thank you.
We love it.
And we mentioned Mountain Stage earlier. I should mention that we carry that program every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on KUMD. We've been doing that for many, many years. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Andrew Ressler and Morgan Kohler, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.